about our emotions and how we feel. And so the series that we're in is this, will God still love me if? Last week we talked about, you know, will God still love me if I make mistakes, if I'm a failure? Today we're going to touch base on, will God still love me if I'm sad or dealing with depression or angry even? Have you ever wondered that? Will God still love you if? So we're going to be looking at some different characters in the Bible, some different situations, and I just pray today that your heart will be open to whatever the Lord wants to speak to you today. Amen? Let's pray as we get into our text today. Lord, again, we already know your presence is here, and so thank you. And so, Father, as we open the word together, Lord, we pray that you would just illuminate truth. God, we thank you that the word of God is living and active. And we just thank you for that. We ask that you just speak to our hearts today. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Minister to our hearts where we need to be ministered to. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We love you, God, in your precious name. Amen. I want to start off with a really powerful scripture in Romans 8, 38 and 39, and it says this, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." I just want to pause a moment. I just want to say hello to friends over there. Pastor Gary Cron and Barb are with us. Yes. Oh, you guys, so good to see you. Pastor Gary, they served here for many years. He was on the team as teaching pastor and a wonderful time. So good to see you guys here today. That's awesome. So beautiful. Back to Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. "And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love." We could just stop there today, right? And just have an altar call. "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." So that's where we're starting today. I'm going to read it again because it's just that important, all right? "And I am convinced that nothing," what is it? Nothing can separate us from God's love. "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." So that really answers the question to the whole series, technically. Will God still love me if ... The answer is yes, absolutely. God will still love you ... Absolutely. But we live in this world and we have feelings and emotions and we do have to process them. All right, and sometimes it's difficult in our own minds for us to wonder. You know, life is a tapestry of joy and sorrow. I feel like we live in that tension all the time. We celebrate, and then we're grieving, and it feels that way. Does that feel like that for you guys? Do you feel like you have that tension a lot of times, joy and grief? Highs and lows, moments of strength, and then seasons of weakness. We live there. It is during those times that we can begin to wonder, does God still love me? And I think if we were all honest, there have been times where we've asked that question. Does he care for me when I'm angry or when my heart is heavy and I'm sad? The truth is this, God's love is steadfast and unchanging, no matter what emotions we may experience. His love is not based on our performance. Let that sit in. His love for you is not based on what you do or don't do. It's not based on our performance or our perfect emotional state, because that doesn't exist. It's rooted in his unshakable character, and that we can take to the bank, his unshakable character. We're going to look at four people today real quickly. We'll look at Moses, Elijah, Peter, and David. These individuals greatly struggled, right, with emotional issues, anger, sadness, regret, despair, things that we deal with all the time, right? And so that's why I love it, because it's like these are such relatable accounts in the Bible. And yet through it all, they discovered God's unwavering love. So for us, we can take those promises to the bank as well. Let me give you a couple statistics. In the United States, stress is a big deal. In 2020, remember 2020, anybody? I still have like post-traumatic stress from all of that. But in 2020, 40% of U.S. adults reported experiencing increased stress, marking it the highest level recorded by Gallup at the time, which we understand why, right? So that was stress. Sadness in 2020, 27% of U.S. adults indicated that they had experienced increased sadness, and 24% reported bouts of anger had increased. So we live in a world, and again, you know, we've been through lots of things, and as a nation, as a country, elections, all the stuff, we have a lot of reasons to be angry and frustrated and sad and all the things, right? I mean, there's a lot going on, and so it makes sense that that stuff has increased. Even the youth and young adults, approximately 64% of young people ages 14 to 21 experience uncontrolled anger, they say now. 64%. Their anxiety is so high because of social media and all the pressure and the bullying and all the just chaos. That's a huge percentage. Research suggests that older adults may experience longer lasting episodes of anger even compared to younger ones. So these statistics only highlight that feelings of anger and sadness are prevalent across our globe and across every demographic. Nobody is untouched by feelings of anger or sadness. Every single one of us here could raise our hand and probably tell a story currently in the last month that we've experienced either some sort of sadness or some sort of anger. Right? Are you with me? Okay, I'm just making sure. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And let's read it on the screen. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We can trust, and even when we don't understand, right? The situation that we're walking through as a district, as right now, like we don't understand that. The same prayers that we've prayed for others who have experienced healing, the same scriptures, the things, same things that we have stood upon, right? We're watching the Lord. He has a bigger purpose and a bigger will, and we can't begin to understand that. And so it's when we have to say, you know what, Lord, we know in all things, you work for the good, for those who love you, amen, according to his purpose. And we can stand in that, we can rest in that, we can trust the Lord in that, knowing that in all things he's working. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have either heard of or seen the movie Inside Out? Okay, so probably a lot of our younger crowd, right? It's a cartoon. It's all about emotions, right? Riley is the daughter in there, and she has lots of emotions, and they all have names, right? Anger and sadness and anxiety and disgust, and there's many of them, right? Well, in the movie, Anger is a little red guy, and he has like flames of burst of flames. He reacts strongly when things aren't fair, right? He gets angry about it, and he bursts out in anger. And as leaders, right, we have all felt the frustration when things go wrong. Has anybody ever had bursts of anger? You don't have to raise your hand on that. I will tell you that in my life, there have been times where I've had to struggle with bouts of anger. When I was younger, just sometimes when you don't heal the things inside of you, and especially when you're younger in Christ and maybe not as mature, then you act out, right? And sometimes that burst of anger can be either harming yourself or can be harming other people. But that's because you're trying to figure out how to process what's going on. And when you don't have healthy ways to do that or you haven't been healed, it kind of just blows out like the red guy in the emotion, the movie, right? And I struggled with that. There was a period of time where I dealt with anger and I knew that I had to get healing for that. And I knew it was based in unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. And so if you hang on to it, you try to push it down, guess what? Eventually, it's going to blow up. And so the Lord had to deal with me and had to go to counseling and, you know, takes a lot of time sometimes to heal the layers of that. I will tell you now, anger is not something that I deal with. Not that I don't get angry, because I still do, but it's not like it was. It doesn't, I'm not out of control. I'm not harming anybody or myself, right? And I'm thankful for that. The Lord can help you in those times, right? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to look at some scriptures today. So whether you've got your device or your physical Bible, get your fingers ready because we're going to look at some just different passages. So Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It says this. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Okay, there's a lot more. Obviously, Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus, talking about unity and all these things. But we're talking about specifically about anger, all right? The Bible says it's okay to have anger, but it says don't sin in doing that. And again, we have a lot of flesh, and so oftentimes we find ourselves, our emotions are coming out, and we are sinning because it's hurting people. And so in those times, if you're in those places, it's a great place to just seek help, get counseling, go to the Lord, ask him to forgive you and to help heal you. There's not condemnation, but there's healing for that, right? It's so important to not let the sun go down on your anger. That means, has anybody ever tried to go to bed angry? I don't know. Maybe some people can, but I don't do well. I lay and toss and whatever, I mean, hum and ho, and it's like, no, can we talk it out? Can we forgive it out? Can we agree to disagree? Can there be some sort of resolve? Because this is just isn't good to go to bed angry, because it just allows the enemy then, right? Anger is an open door for the enemy in your life. So you want to close those doors, right? You want to do what you can to allow the Lord to heal. Anger can be used to fuel positive change, but it must be controlled. In the movie Inside Out, there was another character, Sadness. If you remember, she was the little blue character. Initially in the movie, she was pretty much dismissed as not a huge character, but actually it's through Sadness in the movie that Riley, the character, began to heal and to be able to move forward. Similarly, our sorrow and our sadness can lead us to deeper understanding and growth, if you allow it, all right? To have deep sadness and heartbreak and grief, the worst thing you can do is just to shove it away as if it doesn't, it's not there, because it will only grow. The best thing you can do is just to embrace it and allow the Lord to process with you. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." So there's a kind of sorrow that brings us to salvation, right? That's a good thing. Worldly sorrow will only bring you spiritual death. Sadness can bring us closer to God and can guide us through challenges. And again, life is tough. Hard things happen. They don't make sense. We get that. The Lord isn't asking us to be robots. He absolutely knows we feel deeply. And that's why he understands our grief. He understands our sorrow. Instead of avoiding it, begin to embrace that sadness. Sadness isn't a weakness, but it's a powerful tool. It can be a powerful tool in your life if you allow God to bring healing. Going back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, right, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God works through our emotions to shape us, to heal us, to guide us towards his greater purpose. Guys, our life is not our own. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have signed on the dotted line, and now your life is given to him. And so everything is for his purpose. And again, I understand when it doesn't make sense and when it's hard, he's not asking us to just plow through it. He absolutely wants us to heal. So the question is this: how can we invite God into these emotional experiences? How can we trust him to bring good out of them? Well, let's look really quickly at four leaders in the Bible who struggled with these things. And these are some really good accounts, I'm telling you. Like, it just brings relief to be like, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one, you know? So turn with me to Numbers 11. We're going to talk about Moses really quick. He was a leader who felt overwhelmed. Anybody feel overwhelmed in your life at any point? Just raise your hand.
Yes.
Only, okay? Okay, and some of you are not being honest, all right? Moses was a leader who felt overwhelmed. He was called by God, all right, to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. If you remember, he even was like, had some sort of speech issue. And so he's like, how are you calling me to lead these Israelites out from Egypt? And I can hardly even like talk right. God's like, it don't matter. I am who I am. I've called you. You're going to be okay, you know? So we connect with that. Despite being chosen for such a great task, he often felt frustration and anger and acted it out, not in good ways, particularly with the constant grumbling and the rebellion of the people. All right, so this is fun. Turn to Numbers, all right? Numbers is way in the beginning of the Bible. If you need a little help, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all right? Numbers 11, all right. Are you guys doing good? Okay, thank you. Thanks for giving your pastor grace. I'll tell you, this week with all the meetings and just all the things, it's been a tough week for me. And so I just want to share that because it's not easy getting up here even week after week. And the Lord helps and the Holy Spirit helps. But thanks for giving grace sometimes when it feels a little maybe clunky. But I appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Numbers 11, we'll look at 14 and 15, but Moses had gotten to the point where the Israelites, they're out from Egypt, and you know, they were used to all this really good food, and now they're only getting manna, which is every day provided, and they're like, it's the same thing, Moses, we're so tired of this, you know, and they're grumbling and complaining, and it's not like there was just 10 people, there were millions of like people, and so he is feeling the pressure and all of this from this group that he has led out of bondage. And they're grumbling and complaining, and he's had it. He's just like done. So this is where we get to in Scripture in Numbers 11. Moses says this, I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, of course, he's talking to the Lord, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me the misery. All right. Now, listen, I felt that. I have been there. Like, you know, Moses is like, can somebody else do this? Because this is unbelievable. Take me out, right? He had it dealing with all of the people. I mean, they were on their way to freedom. They were leaving bondage. Like, they were complete slaves, but yet they were looking back going, oh, we want that rather than the road to freedom. And he had just had it. He couldn't handle it anymore. So he cries out to the Lord and like, just go ahead and just kill me, Lord. Get me out now, right? He was feeling the weight of leadership. The anger, the sadness, the exhaustion that were just clouding his judgment. He felt like he couldn't bear that burden any longer. But notice this, all right? God didn't rebuke Moses for his raw emotional outcry. Instead, God met Moses. He met him. He met him in his frustration, and he provided support. Scripture goes on, God appointed 70 other elders to help shoulder the burden of leadership, giving Moses the relief that he desperately needed. The point in that is realizing that even when you make a mistake, even when you're angry, God will meet you in that and help. Isn't that amazing? The other scripture I want us to look at with Moses, turn over a couple chapters, Numbers chapter 20. Another instance where Moses doesn't do the right thing, right? Verse 7, we're going to read 7 through 12. And the Lord said to Moses, you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. All right, so God was very specific. I want you to speak to the rock, and then water will flow, and everybody will be able to have what they need. Verse 9, so Moses did as he was told. He took the staff, all right, from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels, I can just see him saying it right now, he shouted. Must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his hand and he struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. Now, what's amazing about this is that's not what God asked him to do, right? God asked him to speak to the rock, and that would happen. Moses, in frustration and anger, struck the rock, not once, but twice. Now, look here, God still loved the people and cared about the people. So even though Moses disobeyed and out of anger responded, God, of course, is going to take care of his people. So water still flowed. But in the next verse, verse 12, the Lord is going to deal with Moses, and there's consequences to our actions. There's consequences when we don't obey what the Lord is asking us to specifically. Partial obedience is not obedience. Verse 12 says, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them. Wow. So now the people of Israel, they're going to be able to go onto the promised land, and Moses is not going to be able to. He'll be able to watch them from afar. Because of his disobedience and because of his anger, there was a consequence for that. The Lord's still going to take care of the people, but in his own life, it cost him. Guys, there's a cost for not dealing with our sadness and our depression and our anger. You cannot let that go unchecked, because eventually it'll cost other people, and we bleed out and we leak out and we cause harm and hurt. His actions were not only a display of anger, but just a lack of trust. He didn't trust the Lord that what he said was true, so he took it in his own hands. And this incident led to God's judgment on Moses. The story shows how even great leaders like Moses can act in anger and make mistakes. I appreciate these kinds of accounts because I can relate. I can relate to not always listening to exactly what the Lord says, or I can relate to making bad decisions and there being consequences, as can you, I'm sure, right? Even in our intense moments, our moments of intense anger or frustration, God doesn't turn his back on you. He doesn't turn his back on us. He draws us near, listens to our hearts, and provides for our needs. God knows that life can overwhelm us. He does. He's our Father. Don't forget that. He's your Father. He looks at you as son and daughter, and he loves you with that love. You're never alone, even when you feel weighed down by your circumstances. Realize that today, you are not alone, all right? So we have a lot to learn from Moses. Let's look at the next one, Elijah. This is another one of my favorites. Elijah was a mighty prophet of God, like big time known for listening to God, getting the word. I mean, miracles, powerful encounters with God. But even Elijah faced a moment of despair. After defeating the prophets of Baal, so after this huge success, Elijah became the target of Queen Jezebel, of her wrath, and he ran, he fled. The big success, felt so intimidated and scared that he ran. Oh, man, I can relate to that. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Are you guys still doing okay? I know I'm asking that because... Okay. 1 Kings 19. Verse 4. Then he went on alone into the wilderness. This is Elijah, right? So he's fleeing for his life. He went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Seeing a little interesting, right? Moses said that. Elijah is hoping that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Anybody? Anybody ever said that? I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. I'm seeing some principles in here we're going to talk about. This is pretty good. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up, eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. I love this because here again, we can relate to Elijah. He's overwhelmed. He's frustrated. He wants to give up. He cannot go on. And he just says to the Lord, right? I can't. Just take my life. And you probably have maybe seen some memes on this or whatever, but sometimes all you need in life is a little bit of a snack and a nap, and it can all change, right? It's true. That is in Scripture. Like, eating a little something, getting yourself a nap can sometimes really change what's going on in your perspective, what's going on in your world. Even here, he not only had some rest, had some food, but then he had some more rest. So that really speaks to what our physical body, our mental and emotional state absolutely is connected to our physical. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do to yourself is go get some rest. Eat a little something, get some rest, and wake up to another day. And I love this, the practical parts of that. And God understood that. God ministered to him, sent angels to Elijah to minister to him. Can you imagine how amazing that was for this man of God to know, like, man, God really cares. Into the practical. He was so discouraged that he wanted God to take his life. That's pretty rough, right? When we find ourselves sinking into despair, God does not reject us. I want you to hear that, right? Depression is at a high place in our society. There is hope. There is healing for that. God can walk with you in that. You don't have to face that alone. Instead, God gently comes alongside of us, offering comfort and rest and renewal. Amen? Some of us need that for our weary souls, some rest. Maybe that looks like for you going away for 2 days, you know, getting some time off, creating some margin. Our lives are far too full, you guys. And I'm going to point my finger here and I'm going to point my finger there. That's our fault. Who's in control of your schedule? We are. We are in complete control. And our lives are far. We don't have enough margin to just breathe, to be able to get out in nature and listen to what God's saying. There isn't enough margin. And so you're going to have to prioritize it and fight for it. Because if not, someone else and somewhere else is going to take your time. And you need it. You need it. We need it. Amen. The third person that we're going to look at is this. We aren't going to get to the fourth one. That's okay. Is this Peter. Yes, he's a disciple who felt shame and regret. Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples, was a man of great faith, yet he was not immune to failure. After Jesus' arrest, we know the story. Peter denied him 3 times. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. This man of faith gets presented, do you know Jesus? And he ends up denying Jesus 3 times. Luke 22, verses 61 and 62. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed before his mind because, again, it was already prophesied that he was going to do this. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. He failed miserably. This man of faith, this disciple that walked with Jesus. And when the chaos was going on, when they were like, who knows Jesus? Who knows Jesus? He's like, not me. They're like, no, we're pretty sure. We're pretty sure he went that rope. No, no, mm-mm. I don't know who. Three times Peter denies Jesus. But the beautiful part is, right, even though that happened, Jesus then in John 21, so turn with me to John 21, because Jesus restored him. And three times, it's amazing. John chapter 21, 15 through 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Next one. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And lastly, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question the third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, Jesus said. Then feed my sheep. Jesus wasn't asking the question because he didn't know. He was asking the question so that every time he denied it, it restored him. He brought restoration. Beautiful. He didn't want him to feel guilt and shame anymore. He wanted him to be free of that. He wanted him to hear himself, but Lord, I do. He really does love him. In that moment, he failed, yes, but he's not a failure. And I think some of you need to realize that. In moments, you've made mistakes, you have failed, but you're not a failure, right? It all depends on what label you're willing to wear. And Jesus wants to rip off those labels because we're his, we're chosen, we're forgiven, we're righteous in him. Those are the names that are given to us, amen? Peter acted in anger. Another example of this, and I just, again, love this, and we'll be getting ready to close here soon, so don't worry. Turn with me to John 18. Another time in scripture where John or Peter just acts out. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, right? So this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, tensions up. They were scared. They were afraid. And Peter is trying to protect Jesus. He thinks he's doing the right thing. And so out of anger and frustration, he pulls his sword and he cuts off one of the Roman soldiers, Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? And then verse 11 is right there. Scripture goes on to say Jesus bends down and, you know, whatever part of the ear comes off or touches the guy's ear and heals that guy's ear. Peter acted completely impulsively. With a good heart, absolutely, right? But that was violence. That was not representing Jesus. And so Jesus had to make that right. He rebuked him, right? The incident highlights how Peter acted in anger. Yet Jesus' response was one of peace and obedience to God's will, ultimately, showing us that even in moments of emotional turmoil, God's plan must take precedence over our reactions. Hello, 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 right? That goes for all of us. Even when we feel ashamed or regretful, God's love never falters. Our failures don't define us in God's eyes. Jesus' love is greater than your mistakes and my mistakes, and he's ready to restore us to a place of purpose. If you feel like you've failed, remember that God's love reaches right where you are, offering forgiveness and a second chance. Offering forgiveness and a second chance. Some of you in here today need forgiveness. Some of you in here today, you need relief from your sadness and your depression. You need healing from that. God is here for that. Remember this, God doesn't reject us when we're hurting or when we've done wrong. He welcomes us with open arms, like a father does to a son or daughter. Those of you that are parents in the room, when your child makes a mistake, although you have to correct the mistake, you certainly are going to love them through that process, right? Well, God does the same with us. The truth is, God will still love us when we're angry or sad or struggling with an emotion. And I've struggled even this week. I've had all of those. I've had anger about what's going on with my friends. I got multiple friends that are fighting cancer, and it's just all over the place. I've had sadness and grief, uncontrollable. I've faced those this week. And God still loves us. God still loves you, regardless of what you're in, the feelings that you're in. Elijah and Peter, Moses, they all showed us how God responds. And he will respond the same to you. We're no different. These stories teach us about that. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell. I love that. Can separate us from God's love. When you're in the midst of your battle, hold on to this truth, okay? God's love is always with you. But will you accept that? He will never leave you. He won't leave you in your anger. He won't leave you in your sadness. But he wants to heal you. He wants to restore you like he did to Peter. He doesn't want to just leave us in those places, but he wants to help us out of those places. So worship team, if you'll come up. Let's stand to our feet today because I want us to respond to the Lord. As we take a few moments, just close your eyes in this moment. And I want you just to think about how it relates to you. Are you dealing with anger right now? Are there things in your life that have been unfair or you're just upset about and that frustration and anger is overtaking you? Or you don't like who you're becoming or you who you've become? Maybe that anger has brought sin and hurt people or hurt you. Today, the Lord wants to bring healing to that. He doesn't want you to have to carry that anymore. There's forgiveness when we have anger and we sin. Now, we can have anger and not sin, but a lot of times because we're human, our anger does lead to sin. And so there's forgiveness for that today. Maybe you're here and you're just, your heart is broken and you're just have deep places of grief and sadness and loss. That's real. Those feelings are very real. Jesus is here and he wants to bring healing to those places. He wants to touch those parts of your heart and your soul so that you don't have to carry that anymore. So with everybody's eyes closed around this room, and I just want to pray for you today. If you're in one of those two places, maybe you're struggling with anger, or maybe you're just feeling deep sadness and depression, and you know that you want healing today. You need the Lord to touch you today, to minister to you today in your heart and soul. If that's you, I just ask you to raise your hand. I know that takes courage. I know that takes a step of faith. But this allows me to know who I'm praying for today. Thank you. Already, hands are going up. Thank you. Jesus sees that. Whether it's anger, depression, sadness, God wants to meet you today where you're at. He loves you, but he loves you enough not to let you stay there. He wants to bring about healing to your heart and to your soul. You can put your hands down. Jesus. We're going to pray for you in a moment. I also want to just give an opportunity. If you're here today, we've been talking about Jesus's love. We've been talking about his grace, but you may be here today and maybe you haven't invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe he's not your Lord and Savior. And maybe today you'd like to say yes to him and invite him into your life. And I just want to give an opportunity, whether you're online or whether you're in the sanctuary, before we move on, if that's you here today, today's a great day to say yes to Jesus. Today's a great day if you've known him to come back. His grace, his love, his arms are wide open. And so if that's you today, you'd like to either recommit your life to Jesus or for the first time, you'd like to invite him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand up. Again, I know it takes courage to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he sees you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, let's pray. Lord, Father, first of all, I thank you for those that raised their hands, whether they were identifying, I'm struggling with anger, frustration, or whether they're just saying, Lord, I am dealing with grief and pain and sadness, and I just need your healing. Lord, you know each person. You know the details. You know their hearts. And so, Lord, I just ask right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would just minister to the places that only you know. God, that you would come around them and that they would sense your grace and your love. For those that are dealing with anger, God, I pray that they will know there's forgiveness if they've acted out in sin. God, that you can restore that. Lord, help them to get help. Help them to be able to talk to someone, to get counseling if that's needed. There's other resources even beyond the power of Jesus that can help work through some of those things. God, I pray that they would be restored to you today in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that are just heartbroken, God, we ask that your comfort would overwhelm. Lord, I pray healing of their soul. And I pray, Lord, as the waves of grief and the waves of sadness come, Lord, that they would just allow those things to sit there and know that you're with them. I pray that that grace can be known, that healing can come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for that today, Jesus. Father, for those that raised their hand, whether they were recommitting their life or saying yes to you today for the first time, we thank you, Jesus, that as we pray a simple prayer, even asking you into our life, confessing our sins to you, that our need for a Savior, believing that you died on the cross and rose again, that you paid the price for our sin. And God, we thank you that in that moment of saying yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you come and you wipe our sins away. And so for those that prayed that prayer even today, Lord God, we thank you for that. There's peace that comes when we say yes to you. And God, we thank you. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that you meet us regardless of where we're at. You still love us if, .. And the answer is yes. And so, Lord, I pray today for all of us, every single one of us, that we would receive your love today. We would receive your grace today in a new way. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Here's how we're going to close today. We're going to have a couple worship songs. The prayer team, the prayer altar team, you guys are going to be on the sides. We've got some altars up here, but find a place to connect with the Lord. If you have a prayer request that you would like someone to pray with you about, they'll be available on the sides. But we're gonna connect with the Lord. We want to dismiss you to the hallway for fellowship and connection. But in here, we're gonna have ministry continue. So you're welcome to stay and worship, come to the altar, or get prayed for. Don't leave here today without meeting with the Lord in this moment or responding to what he's spoken to you. Amen.